Welcome to Movie Maniacs, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry discussing the greatest movies of all time and all the new films in theaters and streaming that you need to know about. Like us, rate us, share us. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Rags and Chuck Curry.
Back for another edition of Movie Maniacs. Thanks for listening on 1190 and 1075 FM. And of course, the podcast, wherever you found us, make sure to rate, review, share, tell all your friends about us. It is Memorial Day weekend, a bittersweet one because we aren't going to the movies. But there is some hope, and in the future, a lot of states opening up. Movies are starting to get scheduled release dates, including Tenet, which looks like it'll come out in July. And we're going to actually try to do a summer movie preview, at least try to give you some semblance of some order of what's coming out in theaters and also on demand. Viewing on demand is going to spike here in June with some movies getting released that we'll talk about. And here to join us and talk about it all and talk about some movie news, it's Chuck Curry. Chuck, how are you?
I'm hanging in there, Mike, best as I can. How are you?
I am well. I'm still awaiting Dustin Hoffman and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s arrival so I can get out of this town.
Me too. Let me know when they arrive. What about Rene Russo? Kevin Spacey going to be involved? What's the story?
Unfortunately, when I see Donald Sutherland, I run the other way because that's not who you want to see.
No.
During COVID-19. Yeah, so we continue along with the quarantine as we try to open up. Now, I'm in Indiana. We hit phase three this week. In June, the middle of June, we can go to the movies. 50% capacity, but they will open up our theaters. Now, the question is, I don't even know what we'll be showing in these
theaters. How many screens is on your theater?
I believe we have 12. We have 12 in an IMAX and a couple
of IMAX. I don't think they're going to fill 12 screens, though.
No, probably not.
And let's say, obviously they could get DCPs from the studios and do a mixture of some of their newer stuff in the last, 3 to 4 months and then mix it up with some older classics. I'm sure they'll do a few older classics on one of the screens, I have to believe. You know, a drive-in in my area just opened last night, Becky's Drive-In. It's about 40 minutes away from me here in Stroudsburg. This is their lineup on screen one, Trolls World Tour. That's, I think, like the 8:30 show when the sun goes down, followed by Doolittle. And then on the other screen, screen two, is a more R-rated adult version showings of Bad Boys for Life and you got Bloodshot. You like that?
Yeah, well, it's something.
I would have went personally, if I was running a theater, I go with the Goonies and make it a let's come back to the movie celebration. Seriously, I think the iron's hot, the timing, you'd get gangbuster crowds there.
Maybe Independence Day, too, and things of that nature. Yeah, maybe. I will tell you this. I did watch Bad Boys for Life on demand. I actually liked it. It's much better than the second one, and it actually – there's an undertone of seriousness to this film of getting old and trying to figure out where your place in life is. And I was really surprised at how serious they took that subject matter as Mark Lawrence wanted to matter, and of course Will Smith doesn't. I mean, much like the other two films, the villains are weak, and it's just a lot of the same old action and them yelling at each other a lot. But I did enjoy...
No, it deals with the midlife crisis.
It does deal with the midlife crisis, which I was surprised that it did, and both actors were up to the task. And Martin Lawrence actually kills the film here, Chuck. I hadn't seen him in a while, and he actually does a really good job.
Good job.
That's good. And I would recommend it. I mean, I bought it for $4. So for $4 on a Friday night, and you're sitting at home on your big screen TV, digital, 4K.
All right.
Serve it up. Now, you will never do it because you just don't watch movies anymore. I don't know what happened to you. You become a proprietor and then that's it. You're no fun anymore.
True.
What was the last movie you sat down and watched?
In a theater. It was A Way Back with Ben Affleck.
You're just sitting at home.
Well, I own a smoothie shop, right?
Sure. We know what you do.
So on a daily basis, we rotate four movies. We rotate, Back to the Future 2, Deep Impact, 2012, and then I go back to Tim Burton's Dumbo And we just
These are all uplifting films with, you know, flying high subject matter. Let me tell you. maybe we should do Smoothie Maniacs instead of Movie Maniacs.
And I find when we put on Dumbo, sales start to go up.
Yeah.
It's not scientifically proven, but
it feels right. It's the performance by Michael Keaton that just meet
probably not. But this, I got to tell you, the CGI Dumbo is pretty impressive. I think so.
All right. Well,
I like that movie. I do.
There's your latest update on what you should watch. All right. Chuck's still hearkening back to Dumbo from 2 years ago. All right. Well, we do have some movie news and some big movie news, Chuck, that we want to allow people to hear about. And why don't you get us started? Because there's some good news. I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad news, but it's definitely big news.
Well, the big news this week is on the Justice League. You know, for the last few years, a lot of people on the internet have been creating a movement wanting the Snyder cut. And this, just for people who know the story, Zack Snyder directed Warner Brothers' Batman v Superman, which, to say the least, is a polarizing movie. Some people love it. A lot of people hate it. We're both in the camp. I dig that film. Yeah. I like it. I think in time, a lot of people are going to rediscover that movie from a different generation going forward and wind up really embracing it. It has a really unique vision. I love me some Ben Affleck as Batman Bruce Wayne in that movie. So I like it. So make a long story short, they produced the Justice League movie. Zack Snyder was the director, shoots the majority of the film, and then before the film's released, he bows out. His son had passed away, which is a really sad story. Leaves the project. Warner Brothers brings in Josh Whedon, who did a very good superhero movie over at Marvel, The Avengers. I think that's one of the best blockbusters that I had seen in a long time. And so what he does is he goes in, takes the same cast, reshoots at least three quarters of the film. According to the story, three quarters of the film creates a totally different tone, much lighter. Film's released to sort of a polarizing reaction. It's a fun factor to it. I think it's very watchable. But overall, I think it could be better. When you make a comparison to The Avengers, it's certainly lacking. It does have some good character bits, though, I will say that. Now, it was announced this week with the launch, getting ready to launch of HBO's HBO Max, which will be a big-time streaming service, Mike. And they have access to Warner Brothers library. So they made an announcement, to a surprise to many, that they will release the Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. And here's the caveat and the kicker, which I think is really cool, and I'm very surprised in a good way. Warner Brothers is going to fund up to $20 to $30 million to Zack Snyder to complete that movie, to do voiceovers or reshoots or whatever he needs, bring back the entire production crew, film score, etc., etc. And in 2021, we're going to have Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League, which will be a four-hour-plus cut, probably be shown in two, three, or four parts. Really interesting stuff. Thoughts on that?
Still shorter than The Irishman, which is really incredible.
That is incredible.
I'm looking forward to it, I guess. I don't know.
I have a feeling we might see a six-hour cut of The Irishman soon after this announcement, no?
Maybe. I just don't know. You know me. You can't get me riled up about superhero movies, let alone in the DC universe, let alone from a series that, what is it, 5 years old now, that movie? So,
but here's the thing about these cuts. If Whedon reshot three quarters of his movie and changed the tone completely, I am excited about this because I think we're going to see a completely different film.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and HBO Max is really being aggressive with what they're doing. So
this could not have been done without the launch of HBO Max. I don't think Warner Brothers would have spent that in marketing to re-release this film theatrically. Although, I don't know. I think it still would have paid off if it was a thing. But you know who's going to sit in a movie theater for 4 hours time?
And it actually launches this week. Now, do I get it? If I have HBO, do I have to pay again, Chuck?
I think you have to pay again. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I don't want to really. I don't know. So I'm just this. It's just off the top of my head. I think it's an upgrade. I don't know.
I'll figure it out. But I don't think I'm getting.
While we're on this topic, how's this? And nobody's going to talk about this, Mike. This is an exclusive.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Since HBO Max has a relationship here at Warner Brothers, sitting in the Warner Brothers vault is a 2.5 hour cut of Wolfgang Peterson's 2006 Poseidon. Now, here's a story for people who love the Poseidon Adventure and the remake of Poseidon, the remake, which was Poseidon. A month before Poseidon was supposed to be released, it was a 2.5 hour movie with a lot of backstory, most of it in the backstory before right. the tidal wave hits the ship. Okay. I was like, wow, cool. 2.5 hours. That should be the length of a big summer popcorn film, I think. Mm-hmm. Certainly more than 2 hours. So a month before the film gets released, Peterson has this idea. Let me nub the backstory and do this quick moving action movie that feels very real time. And the character development will develop once we get to know the characters after the tidal wave has hit the ship. So he nubs the film down to about 88 minutes pre-closing credits. I remember going opening night to see that film with a coworker of mine, and I could not believe how fast that wave hit that ship. I honestly, Mike, I was stunned.
Yeah.
And it threw me out of the movie. I had to go back and watch it again to really semi-enjoy it, because the first time I saw it, I was so thrown, like, holy smoke. Like, I just sat down, and the ship flipped over. It didn't make sense to me. So I say on our Movie Maniac podcast, we start a movement. Poseidon 2020 hashtag. We want to see the 2.5 hour cut. Well, I want to see that 2.5 hour cut. Yeah, I know it is in the Warner Brothers vault because they were going to release it on Blu-ray and decided not to. Is it just going to collect dust for the next 100 years?
Maybe.
It's a good opportunity. This is a good opportunity for HBO Max. Poseidon 2.5 hour cut. No?
Okay, I'm with you. Why not? Right. As long as it gets you off the topic of Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, I'm with you there. I'll full-heartedly support that.
Actually, if Becky's driving, what I would have did, I would have had a double feature. The Poseidon Adventure 72 followed by Beyond the Poseidon Adventure 1970. The place would be packed, Mike.
It would be unbelievable.
I think so.
All right, so let's go to some more movie news, Chuck. Okay, and Frank right. Marshall, the producer of Jurassic World Dominion, calls the new film, quote, start of a new era.
Thoughts? How does he know? Is it filmed?
I have no idea. I mean, talk about hyperbole. I mean, what does that even mean? What, are they going to go to outer space? I mean,
I think we all know in the age of social media, the hype machine starts early. I am very much looking forward to this film. I think the potential, especially if they expand the scope a lot, which I do believe they will do, is going to be a really anticipated movie. I would say summer movie, but who knows with COVID, who knows what month these films could come out in 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Batman coming out in October. I never would have thought a Batman movie would come out in October 1st. So who knows when this stuff's going to come out.
Chuck, Netflix has acquired the rights to develop Beverly Hills Cop 4, and it looks like the directors of Bad Boys for Life, who did a really good job. They gave a cameo to Michael Bay in that film, which was really cool because it feels like a Michael Bay movie. But Netflix, Beverly Hills Cop 4, the screenwriters are writing another draft, Chuck. I know
Eddie
Murphy
signed
that big deal with Netflix, so that's probably where it's going to debut.
Boy, oh boy, if it's really good, it's going to feel weird to me. Not playing in a theater, but it probably won't. Unless they alter their strategy and release, you know, theater then Netflix. But if it just goes to Netflix, I guess worldwide subscribership is what they want, and they want to continue it to grow and grow and grow. This is how you do it. You lock people into a format they can only get if they pay for it, right?
Yep. I'm locked in. Michael Mann working on a Heat prequel film. Chuck, would it be interesting? I guess he'd have to cast accordingly, wouldn't he?
I guess so. Will people care in 2020?
I don't know what people care about as far as movies, but at least Michael Mann's working on something. I guess that's something, right?
How about this one? Tom Hanks new film, the submarine World War II movie, Greyhound.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that because that's part of the summer movie preview, but go ahead.
Bypassing theatrical release, going straight to Apple TV. They don't know when. It's a $50 million movie. So it was a Sony release. I guess Sony doesn't want to pay the marketing costs to release it in theaters, cut a deal to recoup their money right away with COVID going on.
Crazy.
It's a big surprise there.
Speaking of Tom Hanks, Chuck, we are big fans of the Josh Gad reunion Zooms that he's doing into Back to the Future and the Goonies.
Right.
They're planning Tuesday a Splash reunion party.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, Daryl Hannah, I'm sure. Unfortunately, John Candy won't be there, but you'll probably get the likes of Eugene Levy and Ron Howard and maybe the screenwriter Bobby Menzel. And
I like that.
Yeah, so that'll be May 26th.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I screened Splash about a year ago.
I just rewatched it, by the way, too.
Okay, some people I know wanted to watch it privately.
Yeah.
So we brought about 25, 30 people down to the theater, and we screened it. I got to tell you, it didn't hold up for me.
Really? I enjoyed it. I thought it did. I thought that I thought John Candy and Tom Hanks had great chemistry. I mean, I don't know. I thought I laughed a lot. I still laughed at it.
I thought it played very schlocky.
No?
Yeah, I did.
But you're not a big romance guy. You know, you're not.
Hello.
And it looks like Paul Feig, the writer.
I'm not a big romance guy. You know how much I like Pretty Woman, right?
Well, yeah, of course you do. You like the original cut of Pretty Woman, how it would have ended. looks like Universal's still trying to do that Dark Army film, Chuck, with Paul Feig as your director. That is trying to get all the classic monster guys together, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, Mummy, all those great guys. And Paul Feig's pretty good. I mean, he does some good stuff. He's
sure
funny.
He does. See, that Ghostbusters female remake, you know how much I like that one, right?
What else you got? You got any other movie news?
I do. Speaking of Zack Snyder, he's currently in post-production of his epic zombie movie over at Netflix, Army of the Dead. Now, he directed the remake of Dawn of the Dead from 2004, which might be his best film.
And we're big fans of that, yeah.
Big fan. And here's the one thing about Zack Snyder. The guy cast right. That cast in Dawn of the Dead in 2004, yeah. Sarah Polley, Ving Rhames, Jake Weber. It's a great cast.
Fairly good cast.
It's a great cast. And I look forward to this movie. I really do. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a $80, $100 million zombie movie on Netflix. How could you not look forward to that?
The problem with me is, as much as I'm a fan of that movie, every other Zack Snyder film is either hit or miss, and it's mostly miss for me. I just his style is just does not.
Well, his style is interesting. I mean, like as we said, your Batman v Superman, that style is not for all tastes. But the people who dig that movie dig it hard. They dig it hard.
Yeah,
and I do too. I really like that film a lot.
Can I give you one sports news if you're listening, and he had a chance to do this? You know what? Never mind. Because
I got a couple things here.
All right. Well, I was just going to mention to you
go ahead.
That they're doing a New York Mets 1986 Facebook watch party tonight at 6:00.
Oh, cool.
As they rewatch Game 6 of the 1986. So that's just between you and me. Not really movie news, but if you could talk about your smoothie shop, I can bring up the Mets.
Not really. Very different animals, but we'll run with it. Here's a couple things here. Speaking of Josh Gad, Halle Berry has been added to the cast of Roland Emmerich's disaster film Moonfall, which stars Josh Gad. I guess it's very similar to Armageddon, where you got the moon leaving its orbit, heading toward Earth. How original, Mike? How original is that?
Is Josh Gad playing a oil driller?
He's playing this nerdy character who has a lot of knowledge, like Eugene from Walking Dead. Why don't you just cast him? I don't get it.
That's a real stretch for Josh Gad to play a nerdy character.
Let me just, off the top of my head, because we're good at bouncing stuff off the top of our head on this show. You know, it just popped in my Love and Other Drugs, right?
Yeah.
Remember that movie? Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of movie I like, and I like the pairing a lot of Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway. But boy, oh boy, why was there so much Josh Gad in that movie?
He was in another movie. He was like on the set of American Pie 5, and he's in this movie, and it just did not, like, the tone was way off.
It's sort of like I forgot who directed that. Who directed that film? It was sort of like the director is saying to us, you know, I really like this guy. We want to make him a name in the business, and we're going to give him a lot of screen time in this movie. And that character didn't deserve all that screen time in that film. Am I wrong?
No, he did that movie didn't make a star out of him. Is Ed Zwick, actually. Very good director.
I liked him a lot in Beauty and the Beast, though. I did.
Yeah. And he's great as Olaf. He's perfect, though. I mean, he has his appeal. But
yeah, and he's doing a great job on the Zoom. I got to give him credit. Really he fun. Is. He's doing. He's very passionate.
Yep.
He plays it beautifully like a hardcore fanboy, and it works. I got one other thing.
From what I understand, he was great in the original the Mormon Broadway show.
Book of Mormon.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Actually, talking about, I read an article on Broadway. They're talking about the only way to save Broadway here is do live streaming shows. No audience.
Wow.
For subscribers. What do you think of that idea?
I think they could go that route, though. Look, Yeah, but as soon as we get a vaccine, all those theories and things go out.
I don't understand. Why don't we have a vaccine? I mean, Robert Neville in the Omega Man, it wasn't that hard. He pulled his antibodies out with a viral.
But if you think about the trial and error Will Smith went through in I Am Legend, I mean, it's not easy, Chuck. I mean, it gets really bad. These things turn into zombies.
Very true. I got one other thing here. According to Variety, even though the Oscar telecast, Mike, is not till February 28th of 2021, almost with a certainty it will be postponed.
Well, what movies can you nominate at this point?
I know that's going to be – could this be the first time we don't have an Oscar telecast for 1 year? I think maybe.
Yeah, I could see that. Or at least some sort of concoction of something different. It won't be like the pageant, but they'll do like a more intimate kind of presentation thing. I don't know, but Chuck, to me, half the country won't even care. I think the excitement and buzz of the Oscars have really gone by the way. I mean, even I don't get that excited about it anymore because it's just a political nightmare. That's all it is. It's not a real show with real movie stars and honoring the right movies. Most times they're honoring the wrong movies, if you ask me.
All right, Mike, glass is half full, right?
Glass is half full. Chuck, we're going to try to go through some sort of – you know, this used to be our favorite show.
Hold on one second.
Oh, you got something else.
I do, and this is fun. This week in movie or TV history, first TV, May 22nd, 1992, Johnny Carson's last appearance as the host of The Tonight Show. He was the best host of all time on a late night show, of any talk show. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. No, I agree. I'm a fan of Letterman myself, too. But, those are the Mount Rushmore for me. There's no doubt about it. Yep.
Okay, this week in TV history, last episode, final episode of the Newhart show aired on CBS with the greatest ending of all time.
Yes, now this is Newhart, not the Bob Newhart show.
Right.
This is Newhart that ended up being a spinoff. Actually, all those years, that was a spinoff of the original Bob Newhart show. But a fantastic ending.
Film before a live audience, they went bonkers with that.
Nobody knew how it was
really good stuff.
End.
Really good stuff.
And fantastic, and a testament to the writers and producers of that show. And I was a fan of that show, him owning the inn and Peter Scolari. And
yeah.
I thought that was a good show.
I did too.
He played off that, you know, wacky cast really well. So,
okay, one other. This week in movie history. I got two things. This week in movie history, 1985, A View to a Kill, the last 007 film by Roger Moore as James Bond, would premiere in San Francisco. Chris Walken is Max Zorin. I thought Grace Jones was a pretty cool henchman in that movie. Mike, I know Roger Moore's stunt double is in 85% of the film, and I know it's a little hokey, but I enjoyed that movie in 85.
That movie's bad. I just actually caught some of it again maybe a month ago. The action scenes are stale. I mean, it should have been Ian Fleming presents Roger Moore stunt double in A View to a Kill. That should have been the lead title frame. It's bad, Chuck. I'm sorry. And Christopher Walken. I mean, what kind of villain is this? He's killing his own employees.
And he laughs.
He laughs. They're laughing about it. He's murdering about 500 people. He's laughing.
And didn't Tanya Roberts get an Oscar nomination in this one?
I think That Charlie's Angels. She knew what she was doing.
I got one other thing. This week in movie history.
Oh, by the way, Empire Strikes Back, too. I mean,
yes, Empire Strikes Back was released. And also Die Hard with a Vengeance back in 95. Hard to believe, 25, my time flies, 25 years ago, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Really, honestly, that's one heck of a good sequel. The ending's bad. We've talked about this on the pod. They never really could come up with an ending, which is stunning for a big budget studio tentpole sequel, but John McTiernan, the original director of Die Hard, comes back. He's a damn good director, Mike. Also did Hunt for Red October, had a very serious issues in his personal life, spent some time in the federal prison, really never recovered from that from a professional standpoint, but boy, oh boy, could that guy mount the movie. He was good.
And I got to tell you, I remember seeing that 25 years ago. I was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
My sister and I went to the theater to see it. She forgot her ID, Chuck. And she probably at that time, 25 years old, but my sister's very young looking. We go to buy the ticket. They weren't going to sell her the ticket.
Horrible.
I start flipping out. I said, if you think I'm missing this movie tonight, because you think she's underage, I'm her guardian. We're getting in.
Yeah.
I kind of channeled.
John. Why would they have a problem if you're the guardian? I remember a long time ago, I was letting people used to come up and say, can you get me in this movie? And you walk in with them.
Yeah.
You know? But Die Hard with a Vengeance, really good script.
Good stuff, yeah. I am a fan.
All right, let's proceed.
Let's proceed with Fast Five, and we're really going to try to do this fast. So the whole idea behind this, Chuck, is for me to give you an actor and actress, and you be quick with the first movie that pops into your head.
Go ahead.
A lot of times, I give you the actor.
Well, listen, it's not easy, but go ahead.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Easy one to start. Judge Reinhold. 63 years old. Go.
It's Beverly Hills Cop.
Wow.
I know. Okay. I could have went with Fast Times, but yeah. I could have. But let me tell you, those supporting characters in Beverly Hills Cop, which makes it an iconic classic, and he's a big part of it.
All right. Also, the close talker on Seinfeld.
Okay.
Cillian Murphy is 44 years old, Chuck. The Scarecrow.
Yeah, Batman Begins. I'm going to go with one of those 28 Days Later. 28 Days Later.
The
first one.
28 Days Later. That was a good flick.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's a great villain in Red Eye, too.
I like him in Red Eye a lot. I like that film a lot. Directed by Wes Craven.
Yep.
Rachel McAdams.
This is probably easy. Mike Myers is 57. Not the slasher. Michael Myers. Mike Myers is 57.
I'll go with Austin Powers part two because I like Heather Graham. Fair enough.
Fair enough. I will give kudos to his voice work in Shrek, too. He's really good in that. All right. Alfred Molina is 67 years old. Chuck, first scene with Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's had a pretty darn good career.
I'll go with Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2.
That's a no-brainer for me. He is fantastic in that film.
And you could argue it's as good as any superhero movie ever made. No?
I agree. We talked about it a lot.
In terms of fleshed out characterization, plot, substance,
action,
emotion, and it feels real. The emotion feels real in that film.
And I just rewatched the original Spider-Man.
Sam Raimi.
With
kudos
my daughter.
To Sam Raimi.
Yeah. I just rewatched the original. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
As much as I enjoy the new ones, a lot of credit's got to go to Kirsten Dunst. She's really good in that role. I mean,
here's the thing: Tom Holland might be born to play Spider-Man.
He was.
But the first two Spider-Mans are the best Spider-Mans as a whole. I do believe that Sam Raimi's first two Spider-Mans are the best Spider-Man on film. I think
it's hard to argue. All right, last but not least, Chuck, John C. Reilly, 55 years old. This one might be tough because he's done so much good work.
I got to really think about that. Step Brothers would be a really good one.
I think Boogie Nights for me. He's so good.
Perfect Storm. He has a lot of emotion. His character has a lot of emotion in that film. And his death scene's awesome in Perfect Storm.
It really is. He's done so much for it.
If that doesn't move you, something's wrong with you.
Step Brothers. It's weird how, we talk about movies.
Very talented guy. Oh, hey, you know what? Stan and Ollie. Nice
pick. You like that. Yeah, you did.
Stan
like
and Ollie, nice pick. He's good in that damn film. Steve Coogan and him, really good. That's a good movie. And that movie got completely shut out at the Oscars. You know why? Because they don't watch that stuff. Too small.
It's weird, But you talk about a movie like Step Brothers.
Yeah.
Comedy that did okay. A lot of people liked it when it came out. But it's funny how movies just live and grow.
The best ones do.
Yeah. And it's and it, that movie.
Let me ask you a question. This is because we're bouncing off stuff all the time. Tell me one movie you sat in a theater at first viewing, and you said, my God, this is an instant classic. I have one.
Well, to me, the one that pops out in my mind is The Rock. When I saw The Rock, that summer movie, I remember sitting there saying, damn anybody, this is great. Everything, every note works, every actor works.
You still get some naysayers because of Michael Bay. I love, listen, The Rock's a classic.
That's when it pops up. I remember Die Hard. I remember Terminator. When I first saw Terminator with my dad, I got to tell you,
for me, it's Die Hard in 88. I remember seeing that movie. I went to the Kings Plaza in Brooklyn, opening day. After the first show, I went to the first show. It was 1 o'clock. I went there, first time in my life, I went to a movie theater. My socks were wet, so I didn't wear socks. And there was a mouse running under my seat. That's true. And it's interesting because McClane has no shoes and socks on throughout the whole movie. And I remember halfway through that film saying to myself, my God, this is an absolutely perfect movie. This is a movie that I'm going to see over and over. I knew it. And there's not a lot of films I could say that about. I mean, Jurassic Park, I could probably go into that. You know, when we watched that, I knew I'd be watching that multiple times. But
but even that movie had a lot of naysayers.
Here's a quick question for the listening audience. I want you to answer. What's your criteria for knowing you're going to watch a movie again? Like, what is it about? What is it doing to you that you say, man, I'm loving this?
Usually an adrenaline rush.
Yes, it's an adrenaline rush. Usually my adrenaline. I'm like, this is working on all cylinders. I'm being moved. I want to be moved, obviously, on a certain level. I have to be moved. It has to stir an emotion.
There's probably more movies than you think that gave you that feeling.
Yeah,
that
probably. But I remember Die Hard definitely was one that I was like, great.
I remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark and leaning over to my brother and saying, this is just like one long action scene and won't stop. And you watch it now, it's a lot different, but I remember as a kid thinking, this is unbelievable. And I remember seeing The Terminator with my dad and saying, Dad, how are they going to kill this thing? It's relentless. This is just unbelievable. And my dad having no answer, of course, because it was unreal.
I remember having that thought when me and my dad were watching Beyond the Poseidon Adventure opening day.
And you ask your dad, how are they going to kill Carl Malden?
Actually, what we were saying, and this is factual, I leaned over to my father halfway through and I said, why are they shooting guns on the Poseidon, Dad? He had no answer.
Yeah. Well, and Aliens, too. I remember being blown out of the theater by that movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
If we sat down, there's probably more than you think.
Here's an interesting tidbit for people who like this sort of stuff. The score in Aliens is the exact score they used in the movie Wolfen with Albert Finney. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
At beat for beat. They use the same exact score.
And a little bit of more.
Wolfen came out in 81 and Aliens came out in 86.
A little more trivia.
And that's James Horner, right? I think that's James Horner. Yeah.
James Horner. They needed to loop the ending of Die Hard when he shoots when, you know, the big climax. They used an outtake from the Aliens score to be that final score. So if you listen to the end when he shoots Alexander the Britnick, whatever his name is.
Skarsgård.
No.
I know what you're talking about.
When he shoots the guy coming out and, you know, Powell shoots him, that's a different score than the rest of the movie. That's not Michael Kamen. They actually used score for that. So
I'm glad we're doing this show together.
See there? There you go. That's
This is what makes it fun.
That's what
I'm excited. I got to tell you, we're doing this show right now, and I'm saying to myself, it's an instant classic.
All right, well, it'll probably go downhill from now because we're trying to figure out what the hell we're doing with movies.
Let's keep this short and sweet so we don't blow this thing, okay?
All right, let's do it. By the way, we start in June, Chuck. It looks like the first batch of movies that would have been out in the summer, still coming out on demand. Artemis Fowl, the big Disney movie, remember we talked about a couple weeks ago. That's going to be Disney Plus June 12th. Defy Bloods, that's Spike Lee's brand new movie. That comes out June 12th on demand. And The King of Staten Island, which actually looks really interesting, the Judd Apatow movie about Pete Davidson's life, really getting a lot of previews now on TV. I think it looks interesting about how his dad died in 9/11 and how he's trying to cope with it. It's Judd Apatow. So all three of those movies come out June 12th, but they'll all be video on demand.
Very interesting.
Any interest in seeing any of them?
Yes, I do. I Judd Apatow movie for sure. You think the industry or the system that does on demand is gonna sort of like wedge out some of the lower end product that usually places on demand and say, listen, got no spot for you anymore? I think they're gonna have to.
But there's so many outlets.
But here's the thing: when you go on demand and you're scrolling down, I gotta be honest, Mike. When you do an alphabetized, it's tiring.
Yeah,
there's so many. I was looking at how much the way back cost, right, on Blue Ridge here.
Yeah,
$4.99. But to get to it, I had to scroll through like 30 different films. It's too many.
It gets a little overwhelming. And even on Netflix, if you're trying to find something to watch, there's movies that are buried. They're just buried that you don't even know exist because there's so much in the top 10 and on your list and all that. It's impossible to get.
It's hard.
Another on-demand movie in June, Chuck, that's interesting, is the Jon Stewart-directed movie Irresistible, which stars Steve Carell.
I saw the trailer.
Political comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That movie probably would have gotten a lot of screens in the summer and been an alternate kind of let's go to see this movie and be adults. And
Rose now, Byrne, right? Rose Byrne?
Rose Byrne, yeah.
She's had a really nice run, Rose Byrne, huh?
She has.
Really nice run.
I think this movie actually has a better feel on the video on demand than it would probably in theaters, don't you think?
It does, but yeah, I mean, this is an environment, a landscape that it's here, it's now.
All right, now let's get to July, because movies are going to be released in theaters in July.
And let me hold my breath, hold on.
Well, the first one we talked about is the Russell Crowe channeling Orson Welles in his weight with Unhinged. We talked about that. That's going to come out July 1st. It will come out Disney Plus 4th of July weekend. That's the big release. 4th of July weekend is Hamilton, and it's on your TV, Chuck.
That's a great release date for that.
It is.
That's going to get a lot of subscribership.
It probably should, too.
I think so.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
And then you've got July 10th, Charlize Theron in an action movie called The Old Guard, but it's Netflix, Chuck, not
really.
A theatrical release. July 17th, we both saw the new preview. This is probably the big tentpole. Hey, we're going to try to open up theaters, and this is, you better go see this on IMAX. And that's Tenet. That's Christopher Nolan's new action film, which stars Denzel Washington's son and Robert Pattinson. Very interesting concept. Very Inception-like, Chuck. I don't know if it's going to confuse too many in the mainstream audience and how big an audience are going to run to the theater to be this. The movie, I go finally.
It's a $205 million production. That's what I read. And you know the marketing costs are going to be $50 million. Are they going to hold this release date?
I don't know. And let me ask you.
50-50.
If it is July 17th, are you going to the theaters to see it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. How about Mulan, which comes out the very next week on July 24th? Again, this is more geared towards kids. Now, are you going to get your kids into the theater? This is Disney. They have not said Disney Plus. This is going to the theaters, Chuck.
My 14-year-old daughter and me, not if Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead is on Netflix. No, we won't be seeing this one.
Okay.
All right.
You will see, we're able to get through this pretty quick because there's just not much coming out. There's a movie called The Informer coming out, which stars Joel Kinnaman, who's an appealing actor. Roseman Pike. It's an action movie. Nobody's going to go see that in theaters, Chuck. I don't even know why they're bothering. August 7th, you get
After Gone Girl, why hasn't she become a bigger name in the business?
I don't know. First of all, her character in that movie is not likable.
Okay.
And I mean, and she does a great performance, but
she's good, though.
She's very good, but it's not going to get mainstream people to say, hey, I want to see her in something else.
Okay.
SpongeBob, the movie, Chuck, sequel, Sponge on the Run, August 7th in theaters. Thoughts?
No thought. I don't care. Keep this baby moving, Mike.
I don't care either. August 14th, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday.
Happy birthday.
They say right now,
Yeah.
Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out August 14th. Do you think it will?
I think that has a 75% chance to come out. I do.
75% chance.
Yeah. I think the cases of COVID probably will be very, very way, way down.
Especially in the middle of August, yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll play a long time in theaters, too. Long time.
The
the legs will be pretty long on that one.
The gothic horror movie Antebellum is finally going to come out August 21st, Chuck. That was getting a lot of buzz in the spring, and people were very anxious to see it. With Janelle Monáe as the star, and you don't know if she's a Monte slave and all that. It looked really good. That's finally going to come out August 21st against Bill and Ted Face the Music, the first summer comedy movie, Chuck, of the year, August 21st.
Is that theatrical?
It's theatrical. I'm only giving you theatrical ones.
Bill and Ted. Bill and Ted 3.
Yes.
I'm reading better than 50% chance that goes streaming.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That would be disappointing, I guess.
It would be.
Another, The New Mutants, we talked about this a while back when we did a spring movie preview. I have no interest in The New Mutants, which is an X-Men spinoff movie with younger kids. Enough is enough with this crap. And Chuck, that gets us to Labor Day weekend, where A Quiet Place 2 is supposed to come out.
That's good release there.
Yeah, it is. But considering, when was that supposed to come out?
April.
April, right?
Yep. And it was tracking big.
And it was.
And, there, so, and the advance reviews real good.
That's going to come out actually opposite of Monster Hunter, which is a Milo Jovovich, P.W. Harrison Anderson movie. That based on another different video.
You know that. You know, and just in a quick thought, you know, the model really would work a lot better if the theaters, if the studios own the theaters. But they don't.
Liam Neeson has a movie coming out Labor Day weekend too, action movie called Honest Thief that'll open as well, Chuck. And then you'll get, you know, The Kingsman, The Conjuring, Candyman, all those movies that were supposed to come out, they're coming out in late September.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. I guess we're still in a wait and see mode of what this summer movie season is going to actually be all about. For me, Tenet, July 17th. I'll be there at the IMAX. I'll see.
So when
IMAX.
Can you go to a movie now in Indiana?
I can June 13th.
Now you have, I saw on TV, Indiana is a pretty small state, 6 million people, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
If you say it, it's true.
You have a feel. You've been, how long are you living there now?
2015 years.
All right. So you have a pretty good feel. When the movie theaters open?
Like from the coronavirus?
Yeah, right now.
June 13th. For the okay. third time I've told you this.
Okay, so I'm a little tired right now. So here, you're going to go to movies first week? You're going to go to a movie? Okay, yeah, what do you think? You're going to walk in the theater. Tell me what you think's going to happen. From like you're going to go to the box office. You're going to buy a ticket. Candy or no candy? Will there be concessions?
No concessions, I don't think. I'll probably bring candy in. I think it'll be just like I normally – like
but
I said,
But here's
I
the thing from a business point of view, no concessions. Theater's not going to survive a long time without concessions. That's where the money is. It's not in the ticket sale.
No, you're right. But
it's not. But it's a reopen.
I normally go midweek, middle of the day anyway, and there's not a lot of people there. So it's not going to feel that much different for me. Now, Friday night
– Will you have to wear a mask, yes or no?
No, it's recommended, not mandated. So
okay, all right.
No,
assign seating.
And they're gonna take a blood sample when I walk in, Chuck. Just
like here's the thing. This is what I heard. They're gonna tie the first five people, every five people, to a chair, and then they're gonna randomly do a blood sample on you, and then whoever pops out an alien. We'll go from there.
Sounds about right. So if you're sitting next to Wilford Brimley, you're in trouble. That's all. You're definitely in trouble. Chuck, let's wrap things up on that note. That was our summer movie preview. I wish we had better news for you people.
Yeah, and what we're going to do is take 1 week at a time. I had a lot of fun. I tell you, this episode
still holds up, huh?
It felt good.
Does it hold up as well as Splash didn't hold up?
Yes. Yes.
All right, Chuck. We'll do it all over again. By the way, I am going into work next week. You don't necessarily have to do a Zoom podcast, but we can if you want.
I like these Zoom podcasts. I do.
You do.
It's very liberating, I think.
I think it has the opposite effect for me, but that's okay.
No, I like it.
You just like to see my face.
It's been good. I'll probably never see you again in person. I thought about the other day. I'll probably never see you in person.
No.
But this is the second best thing.
All right. Well,
I like this new technology. I'm warming up to this technology.
2020 is a wonderful thing sometimes. All right, buddy. We'll do this again next week, my friend.
Always a pleasure.
This has been a presentation of Opt-In Productions. Thanks for listening to Movie Maniacs. Be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Download one of our archived episodes or listen to our next new podcast Friday.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.